We're going to be in Genesis, talking about resurrection. So we'll be in Genesis 12. You may want to turn there, and we're going to be looking at Abraham's faith. In chapter 12 of Genesis, we have God singling out Abram, choosing Abram from the people of Haran. And he chose Abram to bless him, chose Abram to make a people from Abram. So let's look at Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 9. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in all your families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed Haran. Then Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Cana, and Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree at Morah, and the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there will be built, and there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel, and he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still towards the south. Abram has God appear to him, and God says, "Get out of your country. Get away from those folks that you know. Get away from all your family. And I, God, will make you a great nation. And I, God, will bless you. I will bless those who bless you and curse him who curses you." Abram is convinced. And he's convinced by God. And Abram obeys God and departs the land of Ur and all his family and relatives. And Abram is not a young man when this happens. He's 75 years old. And along with Abram, Sarai, Abram's wife, she goes with him. And she's only a few years younger. And she happens to be barren. And along with nephew Lot, Abram and family move to the land of Canaan. Abram has managed to acquire sizable wealth, servants, cattle, etc. And Abram now is not all that familiar with God and God's ways. He didn't have a rich Christian heritage to fall upon, or a believing heritage. But Abraham will fail the first test given by God. And it is a test. And that's in Genesis 12, 10 through 20. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. And it came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarai, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen when the Egyptians see you that they will say, 'This is his wife,' and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Please say you're my sister, that it will be well with me for your sake, and that I may live because of you." So it was when Abram came to Egypt that the Egyptians saw the woman, that she was very beautiful. And the princes of Pharaoh also saw her and commended her to Pharaoh, and the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. He treated Abram well for her sake. He had sheep, oxen, male donkeys, male and female servants, female donkeys and camels. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this you have done to me? Why did you not tell me that she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister? I might have taken her as my wife. Now therefore, here is your wife. Take her and go your way." So Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. And Abram departs from Egypt. Abram, he's not a young man. He's lived enough years to know how the carnal mind works. He also knows of the Egyptians and their reputations. And so he says to Sarai, his wife, "Honey, when the Egyptians see you, they're going to want to kill me, for you're so beautiful and desirable. So please say you're my sister, that it may be well with me, and that I might live because of you." Abram knows very little about faith, about trusting in God. But he's cunning enough, he's smart enough to know and realize his ticket to life, continue to live, is wrapped up in his beautiful wife. And Pharaoh, he manages to treat Abram well. He gives Abram gifts of animals and all of these different things because of Sarai. Until the Pharaoh discovers Abram is Sarai's husband. And Pharaoh feels like he's been deceived. And then we have what we call the godliness that should be seen in Abram is seen by an evil king. And Pharaoh chastises Abram, who's supposed to be this godly man. "What have you done to me? Take your wife and go your way." And Abram departs out of Egypt in shame. Okay, that's Pharaoh. So what does Sarai now think of Abram, her husband, her protector? We speculate that Abram has sorely disappointed his wife. He's failed the test that God gave him that God would provide for him there apart from Egypt. And Abram, perhaps, and we believe he has learned a great lesson of trusting in God. Do you notice how we go through life and God wants us to please him? How? By faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. And Abram has failed that first test of faith. Remember, God has promised to bless Abram and make him into a great nation. And this is a hard thing to do if Sarai is in the Pharaoh's harem. He can't do this if Abram's wife is apart from him. Not only that, Abram has lost esteem in his own family, because he's now known in his family as a coward. And there's no other way to say it. He is known as a coward. Before we can be counted worthy to God, it's necessary for us to see how fallible, how fickle we are, to see ourselves really as we are. Peter had this problem. Peter, the outspoken, the prominent disciple, boasted to Jesus himself he would die before he would deny Jesus. Peter needed to see Peter. He needed to see how weak he was in his flesh. And maybe you've seen how weak you are. When I think back on my own life and some of my personal failures, I want to repent all over again. It's like I can't repent enough times about some of my past behavior. So I thank the Lord for his limitless grace. Thank you, Lord, that you're a loving and forgiving God. Abram, however, along with Sarah, they are childless. And they have tried to help God with Sarah being barren. And Sarah gives Hagar, her maidservant to Abram, to bear children that she could raise on her knee. However, God does not bless Sarah, does bless Sarah by giving her her own child. And she bears Isaac to Abram. And Isaac is the child of promise. Next will come, in many of your headings in your Bibles, it comes the test of Abraham. And that's in Genesis 22, 1 through 19. I'll read that to you. Now it came to pass, after these things, that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, here I am. Then he said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on the mountain on which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split wood for the burnt offering. And he arose and went to the place which God had told him. And then on the third day, Abraham lifted his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. Then he said, look, the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. Then they came to the place of which God had told him. And Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on in order. And he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Then Abraham lifted his eyes up and looked, and there behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. And then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessings I will bless you, multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is on the seashore, and the descendants shall possess the gates of their enemies. In your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So Abraham returned to his young men, and they rose and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt in Beersheba. This is 25 years after Abraham left the land of Ur. It's been 25 years, and God has now built faith in Abraham, but now he will test Abraham's faith severely. Abraham failed when he said to the Egyptian, Sarah is my sister. Tell Pharaoh you're my sister. Now, I don't know if Abraham cringed every time he thought back upon his lack of trust in the Lord or his lack of faith. I assume he did. We all are sometimes very slow to forgive ourselves. But think how he must look in the eyes of Sarah. She has come to realize her husband's self-preservation was more important to her husband than her life as in a harem. Abraham has maneuvered to protect self at the expense of his wife. But Abraham, he has learned. It took a while, maybe the full 25 years, but he's learned to trust God. And after God tells him, go sacrifice Isaac, he rose early the very next morning to obey God, to go and sacrifice Isaac. Now, I have a question. Maybe you read that and don't have a question. I have a question. It doesn't tell us if Abraham let Sarah know his intentions to slay their son. Maybe that slipped his mind. Maybe he's not going to tell Sarah about what the Lord has spoken for him. But Abraham has made a 180-degree turn in his faith. Now he's willing to obey God regardless. So years pass. And then we come down through time. And we're not told in the Old Testament, in Genesis, we're not told how Abraham was successful in his faith. But we are told in Hebrews 11. As we go down to the New Testament, to the quote-unquote hall of faith in Hebrews 11, we're allowed to see the events of Abraham's life through the lens, through the eyes of grace and mercy. So let me read you three verses in Hebrews, New Testament, 11, 17 through 19. By faith, verse 17, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figuratively sense. Three little short verses about the faith that Abraham exhibited. But they reveal the change in Abraham's heart and life. Now we all know, if we don't know, we should know. You must have resurrection faith that Jesus is alive for Jesus to become your personal Lord and Savior. You got to believe he's alive. You got to believe that he is. You got to believe that he rose from the dead. Jesus, the sacrifice of God for us, mankind. Crucial, absolutely crucial in our forgiveness. Simple truth. If Jesus did not rise from the grave, if he did not defeat death, then we remain in our sins. It's that simple. We're still condemned to death if he did not rise from the dead. But the hope of all Christians is Jesus is risen. That was weak. Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
And indeed he is. That's our confession as Christians, that he is risen indeed. So, go forth in the coming weeks and months and proclaim Jesus as risen. It's all the difference in the world in what a Christian believes and what others believe. We believe in a risen Christ. Amen. Let me get you to stand. We'll close in prayer. Father, we rejoice deep within ourselves that you overcome the grave. We rejoice that you, by the power of God the Father, rose from the dead. You defeated death, our mortal enemy. You defeated there at the cross and the resurrection. And you gave us victory. Victory over hell, victory to be saved, victory to have heaven as our home. For you were good, and you provided us a way through your grace and through your mercy, and Abraham saw this. And Abraham exhibited his faith that you were able to raise Isaac from the dead if necessary. Lord, let that sort of resurrection faith be alive in us. We want to be absolutely sure and convinced of your resurrection power. It's our praise song that you are alive, that you rule and reign, and that you sit by the Father making intercession for us today. Thank you, Lord, for defeating death for us. And we trust and believe you in this. And so we give you praise, and we praise you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. So, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And have a great forever. Amen.
Well, this closing song.